What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, the gospel is beautiful, and we know the resurrection. But really, the thing that burns in me is the transformation of Peter in the Acts of the Apostles. The witness that Peter is in being filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed into Christ. Peter, who had seen the risen Lord, and he saw him for 40 days, he knew he was alive, but still frightened and only hanging out in the upper room and just praying and waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit on Peter and the apostles as they waited with Mary. What happened to Mary in the incarnation happened to the church, happened to Peter and the apostles on Pentecost. They were completely transformed into Christ. The radiance in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, the problem, I think, with regard to catechesis is it comes right in with the resurrection. And I think the church has to realize, and all of us who are members of the church, that it wasn't the suffering and death and resurrection of Christ that transformed the church and the apostles into the church. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit. The church was not born with the resurrection of Christ. The church was born with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. When water and the Holy Spirit, in today's reading, it's such a powerful teaching for all of us. I would like to read it, and I would like to just comment on it. This is Peter, who had been holed up and frightened in the upper room. And he stands up in front of all of the Israelites. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Messiah. This Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is made to you and to your children and to all the world and for those far off, whomever that God has intended that he will call." He testified to them with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from the corruption of this generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added to their number that day. That was the beginning of the church. What brought about that powerful conversion and newness? The witness of Peter. Peter and the apostles became Jesus. The suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ is what brought about the salvation of mankind because of Jesus suffering, dying, and rising. But Jesus needed to come into some of us he had chosen to come into his apostles. And that's what he did. He came into them at Pentecost through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he came into those 3,000 by baptism. Now Jesus is in the world, in the people of God. The church is the people of God. And what was Peter? Peter was the witness to that. So often we present Jesus of the Gospels, but it's Jesus of the Acts of the Apostles. This is the first century church. Jesus of the Epistles, Peter and Paul and James and Jude. These epistles that were written are written by men who are in Christ, and they're testifying to this and teaching us this. The Jesus of the Gospel is the Jesus who became incarnate of the Virgin Mary, suffered, died, and rose. That Jesus saved all of mankind. That same Jesus is in each one of us who has been baptized, confirmed, and ordained. And so what does the whole church need today? We need witnesses, those who reflect. And that's exactly what happened to that early church, that church of the first century. And we call them martyrs. They went out and they suffered and they died and they rose again with Christ. And the church was planted and went like wildfire throughout the entire world. What is this happening to the church of the 21st century? I was here yesterday, and a young priest came in, and it was a delight to meet him. He was 44 years old. He was the youngest priest in his whole community. He was a Redemptorist. They have hardly any recruits. They have hardly anybody in their order. And the same is true all over Belgium. And the priest that I'm giving the retreat with, all over Holland, the same thing. The church is dead. The church is dying. And he was talking about they had gotten together five churches and they couldn't fill one church. The amount of Catholics and Christians, and they were all old people. They hardly had any young people. And what do we really need in the church today? I think the same is true in Belgium, as Holland, in Germany, and all over Europe. The church is dying. And here is ISIS recruiting young people, boys and girls, from all over the world. Our enemies are flourishing. And the church of Jesus Christ is dying. And I was thinking about the church in the United States. What do we need? What is the apostle? He is the bishop, the successor of the apostles. And what do we have? Mediocre. Who can you really see that's aflame with the fire of God? When Archbishop Sheen was preaching, he was proclaiming, and people woke up and listened to him. When Bishop John Neumann was head of the Philadelphia Church, What was he? He was rejected, just like Jesus. And Archbishop Sheen also was rejected by the people of Rochester. So as a result, what do we have in our bishoprics? What am I saying? Am I just criticizing? No, I think I'm just saying that we, the people of God, priests, people, and if any bishop happens to be listening to me, what are you called to be? A saint. Now, if you aren't going to be a saint in order to witness to the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, then you who are called to be Christ in the world, you be that. Be that, you priests of God. Be that, you heads of families, mothers and fathers. Be that, you teenagers. The church needs witnesses. Of what? of who you are. We are Christ in the world today. The Protestants, the group called Mormons, they're out there witnessing to their cult, and the Jehovah Witnesses witnessing, and ISIS capturing the attention of the world in all of what they're doing, and we Catholics in the Church of God, those who are the ones who received the Church of Jesus Christ from the apostles. Well, yeah, I don't think we should criticize those others for recruiting. I think we just should see ourselves as really needing and looking at and listening to Peter today, proclaiming Jesus Christ, witnessing to Jesus Christ. He witnessed to Jesus Christ his entire life, and then finally burns out and dies on the Palatine Hill in Rome, where they crucified him. And James gets thrown off the temple and killed. And Thomas goes all the way to India and gets killed. The apostles spread the church throughout the whole entire known world of their time. Paul baptized a flaming fire of a witness. I, Paul. And what did they say? I think the first thing I would ask is to pray for your bishops. I really believe that when our bishops become aware of who they are, that we use that title, Successor of the Apostles, Witnesses, Jesus flaming and living in them as saints. John Neumann, a witness to Jesus Christ in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Archbishop Sheen, a witness to Jesus Christ as a missionary and a leader of the church today, and one who is going to be canonized. A bishop is a saint and called to be a saint. That's his first call, to be a witness of Jesus Christ by his whole life. I want to pray. In the Mass, each one of us prays for our Pope, who is such a fantastic witness of Jesus Christ and has been for 100 years in the Church, from Pope Leo on down to our present Pope. We have had magnificent members of the Bishop of Rome. But what about our own bishops? Pray for them, wherever you're from, of Omaha, of Scranton, or wherever, in Holland, in Germany, in Belgium, in Netherlands, or wherever you may be, pray for your bishops. The church is languishing. And this priest yesterday was telling me what a poor, poor leadership is here in Europe, signed by these bishops. The conflict, the lack of true leadership and witnessing to Jesus Christ in these countries. And the church, as a result, is dying. Secondly, Paul said, and I think it's so important for each of us, why is this church in the state that it is? It's the same question St. Francis asked himself. Because of me. So therefore, each of us is called to be a witness to Christ. As Peter stood up today, that he became a witness to Jesus Christ. In the gospel today, a woman was the one who brought the message, Mary Magdalene. It was not the apostles that first saw the witness of Christ risen from the dead. It was a woman, Mary Magdalene, bringing the news, he is alive, he has risen. And Mary Magdalene became a saint. Every member of the church is being called to be a witness. Thirdly, why not adopt a line for yourself. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I think more and more I see that as something that each and every one of us can say. Do you want your children to be like you? Do you want others to be like you? Are you Christ in the world? And so if you're a father or mother or teenager, would you want everyone else in the world to imitate you? What Paul said, I think all of us can begin to think about and imitate and say, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Does the church need witness in the world today? Why not me? Let me be that for him. To be a sign, a witness of Christ in the world today. Who are you? You are Christ as a baptized, confirmed Christian. Christ lives in you. When you eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, when you are baptized and confirmed into Christ, Christ dwells in me. I live, Paul said, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul also said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so in today, what does the world need? As Peter stood up there and witnessed to his fellow Israelites, and 3,000 were baptized that day, what about you witnessing to the world as a teenager, as a sign of purity and chastity and courage and love and kindness, to witness to your fellows in school, in your university, wherever you may be, radiating Christ when they say, look at her. She is a sign of Jesus in the world. I want to be like her. I want to imitate her. As she is imitating Christ, so I want to live like her. Then the church will begin to flourish. It will begin to flourish because the Holy Spirit is radiating through each and every member of the church, beginning with the apostles, the bishops, the priests, the seminarians, married couples, young people, elderly, every one of us being a witness to Jesus Christ. The church is the body of Christ on earth. The church are the saints in glory. The church is Christ in the world today. Just as church was in the first century, alive because of the power of the Holy Spirit, so we of the 21st century, in this particular season that is going to approach for the next 40 days, Pentecost, as we build up to our birthday on Pentecost, the newness and the refreshment and the fire of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, the risen Lord living in, through, and with each one of us. That's kind of what's on my mind today.
That's very powerful, Monsignor. Why is it, do you suppose, that we don't witness more? I mean, is it possible that maybe we're just too fearful? Or, what could we be afraid of?
There's so many things that cause me to not want. First, I think false humility. You know, when you hear a thing like that, that you are Christ, you know, so many people say, well, you know, because of my sins, how can I be Christ? But every one of us, that's our calling. Yes, we are sinners, every one of us, but we have been redeemed in our sinfulness. Christ has chosen us to be in us. I was reading the history of Mother's Call, and when Jesus was calling her to be the foundress of this new community, she said, "Why are you calling me? I'm so weak." He said, "That's why I'm calling you, because I don't know anyone weaker or more miserable than you." He can live in me. I'm nothing of myself. And that's why it's so powerful to be a witness. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I can more powerfully proclaim Christ the more I am aware that I am a sinner. Why would he choose me, of all the people in the world, to witness to him? Yes, but he has done so. That was his will, that Christ chose me, the least, and I honestly know that more and more every day. But he's the one who chose me. The Father chose me to be Christ in the world today. Jesus chose me to be his priest. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell in me. And so here I am. And so as I radiate it, it's not that I am anything of myself. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He's the one I'm imitating, and you're the one that's being called. And I think because we're so fearful that we think because of our self-reliance, it's going to depend on us. No, it's going to depend on just what's in the gospel today, in the epistle. It's going to depend on the Holy Spirit. He is the power, the force, the light, the grace that's in me. There's nothing I can't do in him, through him, and with him. And so when I see this young priest yesterday, so alone, and he's fighting the fight all by himself here, when I saw him, 44 years old, and just like an uphill battle, and all around him, decay, and just the lack of vocations and, you know, the frustration. And, you know, if someone is listening to me, maybe either in Ireland or in Norway, or this thing can go all over the world. But I know it's here in Holland because of the priest that's with me. That's the state of the church there, decay. And it's here in Belgium, decay. Now, if this is this way in so many places in Europe and in the United States, what do we need? We need the Holy Spirit. We need witnesses of Jesus Christ, those who are on fire with Christ.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Be a saint. Pray that your bishop will be a saint. Ask God to give us saints in our world and witnesses of Jesus Christ. But show others what that call is like by the way you live. Be a saint yourself, and you will radiate Christ. God bless.